Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara begins at the Mishnah that you will find 12 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Tes. The Mishnah: Gonav Birshus Habaylim V'Tovach U'Mochar Chutz Mirshusam. This, you can see, is the first of three scenarios that will be contrasted with a fourth scenario. The first three scenarios will lead up to the ganav, the thief, having to pay the 4-5 payment for having stolen and slaughtered. So we continue with the examples, the first example having been where the thief took an item from the owner's domain, the owner's house, if you will, and then slaughtered it or sold it outside his domain. The point of theft took place when the thief took it out of the owner's domain. Oy shegonav chutz mirshusam, or the thief took an owned item, but it was outside the owner's domain. So the thief became a thief as soon as he drew the item unto himself. V'tovach u'mochar birshusam, and then he slaughtered or conducted a sale in the domain of the owner. Oy shegonav v'tovach u'mochar chutz mirshusam, or everything took place outside the domain of the owner. In all of these cases, mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha, the full payment of 4 or 5 will be required. Avol gonav v'tovach u'mochar birshusam, if the thief took hold of the animal and slaughtered or sold it, all the time remaining in the owner's domain, potter, there is exemption because he did not become a thief over it. It remained the entire time in the owner's domain. As we continue in the Mishnah, I want to point out ahead of time, in anticipation of the Gemara, this expression, Hoya Moshcho V'yotze, or specifically Hoya Moshcho, will appear a bit later in the Mishnah. The Gemara will deliberate what is the second V'hoya Moshcho referring to. In the meantime, we continue, Hoya Moshcho V'yotze. The thief was in the process of drawing the animal in the direction of leaving the owner's domain. However, umeis birshus habaylim, the animal died before the thief exited the owner's domain. Potter, there is exemption. In other words, a theft did not take place. However, higbioi oihoitzioi birshus habaylim umeis, if the thief picked up the animal in the owner's domain, that picking up is called hagbah. Hagbah is a form of acquisition that is effective even if it's in the owner's domain. Or he took it out of the owner's domain and then umeis, the animal died, chayav. He has already become a thief. And therefore he has to pay the kefel that is expected of a ganav. Nosnoi lebuchurus beno. The thief took the animal and gave it to a kohen as payment for redemption of the thief's firstborn. Oy lebalchov, or he took the animal that he stole and gave it to his creditor as payment for a debt. Leshemer chinam, leshoyol, lenoisei socher ulesocher. He gave the animal to a guard, a bailey, someone who would watch it either for nothing, that's a shomer chinam, or he loaned it to someone, that's a shoel, or he hired someone to watch it, that's the shomer, the no say sochar, or he rented it. V'hoya moishchoy. Now here there's a pronoun, and those who are veterans of Gemara markings know that we are very wary of pronouns. In this particular case, the pronoun who it is referring to is going to be the subject of the Gemara's discussion. So we're not going to translate it. We're not going to refer to it other than in the pronoun form. It says v'hoya moshcho, and he was drawing it. Umeis bershus habaylim potter. If the animal dies in the domain of the owner, there is exemption. Higbioi oishotzio bershus habaylim umeis chayov. If the animal was picked up or taken out of the owner's domain and the animal died, chayov. So the thief is guilty. Rashi says regarding this, the thief will be guilty through the kinyan of his agent. We'll get back to this as we go through the Gemara. Boi Amemar. Amemar raises a question. Tiknu Meshicha B'Shomerim Oiloi. In order for a shomer to, now I should point out there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos as to what we are talking about. According to Rashi, the question is, a shomer, in order to become responsible for watching an item, did they establish that it begins only upon his being moshech, drawing the item, or not? Tosfos introduces another approach to understanding the question, but we're going to hold off on getting into that, other than drawing your attention to the bottom Tosfos Dibur HaMasul Tiknu, and you can see another pshat. But Amemar wants to know, according to Rashi, in order for a shomer to become obligated in watching, does he need to draw the item? Omar Rav Yemar Toshma, let's conclude it from our Mishnah. This is a quote from the Mishnah. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can see where this is coming from. Nosnoi levechoros benoi oilobal chovoi. The thief gave the animal to a Kohen for redeeming his firstborn or to paying off a debt. And here we become a little more focused, because here we have examples of shomrim. L'shomer chinam, u'l'shoyel, l'noisei socher, u'l'socher. Hoya moishchoi v'yoytzei. He was drawing it and leaving. The umeis b'shus habaylim potter. And if the animal died while it was still in the domain of the owner, there is exemption. There's a continuation in the Mishnah itself where it said, the reason I mentioned that there is a continuation to the quote that you see in the Gemara text is because I believe Rashi, in explaining the Gemara, is going on that continued quote. My love, the quote that we just read, it said, and he was drawing the animal. Shomer. Is it not a reference to the shomer? We saw in the source that the thief had given it to one of these different types of shomrim, of the watchmen or baileys. And after presenting them, it says, and he, the pronoun, is it not referring to the shomer, that the shomer then was taking it from the domain of the owner? Isn't that the case? Ushmamina tiknu meshicha b'shomrim. From the fact that the shomer was drawing it, that indicates that in order for him to become a shomer, he must have had to draw it. Oh, my leg, lo. So he says back, named Amemar, who raised the question and got his answer from Rav Yemar. So Amemar says back, not so. That's not who was drawing it. Ganav. Remember we said the pronoun is a problem here? Who was drawing it? So Amemar wants to say that it was the Ganav who was drawing it. So he says back, but Tonot Le Reisha. How can you say that the Ganav was drawing it when the Ganav is featured in the Reisha of the Mishnah? You notice that we have a little star, and that star tells you to go to the Mishnah, and that is where the first dashed underline, Hoya Moshcho, appeared. So the Ganav drawing was already featured in the first part of the Mishnah, so that the reference in the latter part of the Mishnah to Hoya Moshcho must have been someone else, namely the guard, the shomer. So the Gemara says back, no. Tana ganav shegonav mi beis habaylim, v'tana ganav shegonav mi beis shomer. Both are referring to the ganav doing the drawing. The first part of the Mishnah dealt with the ganav, the thief, drawing the animal out of the house of the owner. The second part of the Mishnah dealt with a thief drawing an animal out of the house of the one unto whom it was entrusted. But we don't see any evidence of a shomer, of a guard, drawing the animal. Omar le Ravashi. Ravashi says, lo tidche, don't give such a, we'll say, push-off answer. Tidche is simply to shove someone off, push someone away. In other words, that's not a reliable answer. Why? There's no legal reason to make a distinction, or that there would be any difference between the two, that you need to teach me two cases of ganav drawing animal out. Mali ganav shegonav mi beis shomer, mali ganav shegonav mi beis bailim. What difference does it make whether it's a thief stealing from the home of the shomer, or a thief stealing from the home of the original owner? Both are identical. You don't need to have two cases that are essentially one in the same taught in the Mishnah. El olav shomer. Rather, the drawing mentioned in the Mishnah, the second drawing, Hoya Moshcho, is a reference to the shomer was drawing it. Ushma mino tiknu mishichu b'shomerim shma mino. So you see from here that in order for a shomer to become responsible for an item entrusted to him, he would have to draw it. And as far as the pshat in the Mishnah is concerned, we alluded to this before, the thief had given it to someone, the stolen item, to someone to watch, and he drew the item. Then the animal died. In the case that the animal died outside the domain of the owner, that arrival outside the domain was a result of the shomer drawing the animal. So the shomer drew it out, and that action reflects back on the thief, making the thief chayav to pay, obligated to pay kefel. And that's an expression that you see in the Rashi. If you look in the Rashi, a little bit more than halfway down the Rashi column, in our Mark Gemara, you can see we've squiggle underlined the Loshen Achrina Ikir Hai Chayav Aganav. The Chayav referred to in the Mishnah is a reference to the thief is Chayav Aganav Koi the Mechayav Ganav Bekinyan Shluchav. The thief becomes obligated to pay the kefel, the kinyan shluchav, through the acquisition of his agent. So it's a very interesting idea. There's a discussion in the commentaries about how this works in actuality. After all, we have the concept of ein shliach ledvar avera, as I say, there's quite a bit more discussion on the topic, and you can see this in the various commentaries. So now we continue in the Gemara. Itmar Nami, it's been stated likewise by Omar Rabbi Lozer, by Rabbi Lozer, Kederech shetiknu meshicha b'lekuchos, kach tiknu meshicha b'shomrim. Just like in acquisition of items, lekuchos are purchasers that acquire items, meshicha is the method of acquiring those items, portables. Kach tiknu meshicha b'shomrim. So too, the act of drawing it was established in order to obligate a shomer in watching. Tanya Nami Hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this. So in this Tanaic source, the first part will be the support to what we have just said. Up till now, it's been a discussion on an Amoraic level, and now we'll see a Tanaic source that supports it. The second part of the source will then lead into the, will be the opening, we'll say, for the continued discussion of the Gemara afterwards. So the source says, "Kederash shetiknu meshicha b'lekuchos, kach tiknu meshicha b'shomrim." U'keshem shakarka niknes b'kesef b'shtar u'b'chazaka, and just like land is acquired through these three different means, payment of cash, a document indicating the transfer of ownership, or chazaka, an act of usage on the part of the purchaser indicating his ownership of it. Kach schirus niknes b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Now this phrase is not clear. Literally, it says so too. Renting is established or is acquired through cash, a document, or usage. Schirus demai. Renting of what? We have means of acquisition stated here. Three different methods, but when we speak about renting of what is relevant to these three different means of acquisition. In Lema, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Schirus de metatalin, the renting of portables, metatali b'nei shtaraninu, would you write a document concerning portables? There is no such thing in standard halacha. Documents have no relevance to transfer of portables. And yet in the source that we read, the different methods for schirus included shtar. So the Gemara answers, Omar of Chistos schirus de karka, the rental of land. So not only the acquisition of land is established through these three different methods, but the rental of land is established through these three different methods. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, read the Nosei, which we've presented in a rather general form, Hevdel Bein Ganav Legazlan, the difference between the stealthful theft and the open theft. I'm not sure in English, but maybe there is a distinction that we make between a robber and a burglar. It could be that a burglar is someone that does things in a stealthful fashion, and a robber is someone that does things in an open fashion. If there is truth to that, then we have our English parallel to Ganav and Gazlan. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Elazar, Ra'uhu Shehitmin B'chorshin. An individual, called a thief, was seen hiding in forests. V'tovach u'mochar. And he was then grabbed animals while in the forest where animals were grazing, and slaughtered or sold them. Mishalim tashlumi arba b'chamisha. The full payment must be made. The full payment of four or five, depending on what did he grab while in the forest. If it was a sheep, he would pay four times the value. If it was an ox, he would pay five times the value. The Gemara asks, why though? Amai holo moshach, but he went up to an animal grazing in the forest. He didn't do an act of acquisition. Omar Rav Chista, shekisha b'makel. The thief first hit the animal, and that caused it to walk, and that is considered a form of meshicha, of drawing it, hence acquisition. acquisition in the sense of theft. Question, Amri, we still ask a question, V'kevon d'ra'u, since he was seen, gazlanhu, he's an open thief, he's a robber, and the multiple payments that we've been discussing so often are not applicable to a gazlan. They're applicable only to the stealthful thief, the ganov. But once he was seen, that would make him public. The second thesis on the page, Kevan Tru, Tru, Gazlan Hu, Klomar, Shois Bemokum Golui, he's doing his thing in an open area. Velo Domi Legoinev Bebayas Obachotzer, it's not similar to someone who creeps into someone's house or courtyard. The Gemara answers, Kevan Deka Matmari Minayu, since this individual who's in the forest stealing animals hides from people, Ganavhu, he is still considered a stealthful thief. So it's true he's doing his thing in an open area, but at the same time he's trying to hide from others. The Elo Gazlan Hechidomi, so what is a Gazlan? And in response to that, the Gemara gives us Rabbi Avo's opinion and then Rabbi Yochanan. These are two responses to how would you describe someone who's a Gazlan. Before we go on in the Gemara, there's a Rashi that I'd like to learn together. In the upper part of the narrow lines, this Rashi is at the question level. The Gemara had asked, "V'kevan d'ra'u, since he was seen, then gazlan hu, is he not an open thief?" And the Rashi says, "V'loy doime leganav b'fnei shnayim." This isn't similar to a thief who was seen stealing in front by two people. The Hassam. Afagav de chazu le shar inshi. In that case, where he steals, and people saw him stealing, we're still going to classify him as a ganov. Why? Because there, even though he is seen by others, I'll read again. Afagav de chazu le shar inshi lo mistifi minayhu. Even though he's seen by others, he's not afraid of them. The Meimar Omar, the Ganav figures, Lo Minayu Shakil no Mini. I'm not taking anything from them. However, from the actual owner, he is afraid. Avol Chorshin, however, in the case of the forest, Mira La Kolhi, it's an open grazing area. Velo Yoda Deman Nihu Hach Behema. He doesn't know who the owner of this animal is. And yet, he's willing to grab the animal. The cave under low, mistifi mi kule almo. He's not afraid of anybody. Any one animal that he takes might be an animal owned by some of the people there in the forest. And yet, he's willing to take the animal. So he's not afraid of anybody. Therefore, the thinking is gazlan hu. The Gemara responded to that, though, that if you watch this guy and his behavior, you'll see he's trying to avoid being seen. That was the expression of in the Gemara, the kevan deka matmiri minayos. He's hiding from people while stealing those animals in the forest. So that enables us to classify him as a ganav. So if here you've got a guy that's out there in the open stealing animals, and yet you're calling him a ganav, so then what's a gazlan? Omar Rabbi Avo. We're back in the Gemara, the first triangle name. Kegon Benoyo Benyo Yoda. Now, it doesn't mean that Benyo Benyo was a gazlan, but the behavior of Benoyo Benyo Yoda is featured in the Pasuk, and the word Gezel is used in his context. He was a warrior, functioning in the army of King David. And it says there, Shenemar, Vayigzoil es hachonis miyad hamitzri ve'argeu b'chaniso. It says, Binyo Binyoda stole the spear from the Egyptian and killed him with it. So, going right up to someone, to the owner of an item, and taking it from his possession, no fear of the owner, that is a gaslan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kagon Bale Shem, Shenemar, like the people of Shem, where it says, Vayasimu lo Bale Shem, Marovim al Roshe Horem, Vayigzulu es kolasheri avor aleim baderech. And it says the Pasuk describes these people, the Bale Shem, who Marvim is they laid in wait on the mountaintops and plundered all those that passed under them. So behavior like that is illustrative of a gazlan. Rabbi Avo, my time alo Omar mehai. Why did Rabbi Avo not cite the example of the Bale Shem? Omar loch, Rabbi Avo will answer you. Kevon de mitmuri et muri, since they are hiding. We describe them as they're laying in wait. That means they camouflage themselves, waiting for passersby to then plunder them. Lo gazloni ninu. We cannot classify them, says Rabbi Avo, as gazlonim. After all, they're lying in wait in a hidden fashion, so they're not gazlonim. Rabbi Yochanan, who said to the contrary, he says that their act of hiding, ha deka matmri, they're hiding, delo nechzinu inshi. Their hiding wasn't because of their fear of the people, but rather their hiding was so that the people who were eventually to be the victims would not see them, the Bale Shem, v'ne'erku minayu, and then run away. So they laid in wait in a camouflage fashion, only to ensure that they'll be successful in plundering their victims, and their victims wouldn't run away from them. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a frame, but it's an unusual looking frame. It's a dashed frame. And the reason for this is that it's not brought in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't have an opening expression like Tanya or Tanu Rabbanan or Tanan introducing this as a Tanaic source. However, the entire contents of the source features Tanoim. So we're treating it as if it were a formal Tanaic source. The source, in fact, goes till the Mishnah, so there's no Gemara discussion on the matter. On the side, by the way, we have a topic heading with a structural note. A diamond is featured. Hityachsut hatanoim, the tanoim will be relating to lahevdeil bein ganav legazlan. You'll see how they relate to this, the difference, and describe the difference between a ganav and a gazlan. So now the source. Shalu tamidov es Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The students asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "Mipnei ma ichmiru teira beganav yoser mi begazlan? Why does the Torah, when it comes to payments, express stringency of with regard to a ganav, the stealthful type theft, more so than the gazlan, the open thief?" Omar lahen. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered, this one put on the same level the respect, the honor of the slave with the honor of the master. The slave, in this case, is a reference to people. The kono, his master, is a reference to the Almighty. What does that mean? He put them on the same level. The gazlan, the open thief, is not any more fearful of people than he is of God. They're on the same level. He's not fear struck He's not fearful of anybody. He steals in the open, and that is what the Gemara means when it says hishva. He put on the same level. However, v'zeh, the ganav, on the other hand, lo hishva kvod eved likvod kono. He doesn't put the honor of God and the honor of the of man on the same level. Rather, he raises the level of the eved, i.e. people, above the honor of God. What do we mean by that? He is worried only about people seeing him. He's not worried about the Almighty seeing him. Kivyochol, it's as if to say, also ayin shelmata kilo eino roya v'oizen shelmata kilo eino shomas. The source is using a euphemism when it says mata, meaning the lower one, the earthly one. When in truth, I said it's euphemistic, so it's referring to the Almighty. So that the ganav behaves in such a way that the eye of the Almighty and the ear of the Almighty, the eye of the Almighty doesn't see, and the ear of the Almighty doesn't hear. Shenemar, and here a few psukim are cited that reflects this kind of thinking. Pasuk says, "Hoy hamamikim me Hashem lastir etza." Woe unto those that are scheming in a hidden fashion. V'hoya b'machshoch maaseim v'yomru mi roenu mi yodienu. You have the pasuk describing all kinds of schemers that scheme in the dark, figuring that no one sees us, no one knows of what we're planning. Uksiv vayomru lo yireh ko v'lo yovin elokei Yaakov. And there are those that say that God won't see and he won't understand. Uksiv ki omru ozav Hashem es haaretz v'ein Hashem roeh. Those that say God has abandoned the world and he doesn't see. So all of these are descriptions of those that think that that the Almighty isn't going to hold us accountable for certainly thinking that they can do things and get away with them. Omar Rabbi Meir, Moshlu Moshol Mishum Rabbi Gamliel, an analogy, a parable was stated in the name of Rabban Gamliel. L'ma'ador v'doyme, the contrast between Ganav and Gazlan is similar to what? L'shnei b'nei odom shoybir v'osu mishteh, two people in a community, in a city, and they each one made a banquet. Echod zimein es b'nei ho'ir, v'lo zimein es b'nei hamelech. One invited the townsfolk, but did not invite the royal family. V'yechod lo zimein es b'nei ho'ir, v'lo zimein es b'nei hamelech. And the other one did not invite the townspeople, nor the royal family. He didn't invite anyone other than maybe his immediate friends. Eizu mehen oinshe meruba. Which one of these two deserves a greater punishment? Heve omer, he would say, Zesh zimein es b'nei ho'ir, v'lo zimein es b'nei hamelech. He who accorded respect and honor to the townsfolk and not to the royal family. Similar to what we said above, he placed common people on a higher level than the royalty. Omar Rabbi Meir. Here we have on the side a mivnes structural note. These diamonds that you see here are hezberim, loma al tvichas, Tvichas o Mechiras Keves Hatashlum Ragdalid Ve'al Shor Hu Hey. Why, for the slaughtering or the sale of a sheep, does the Torah mention that the offender pays only four times? When it comes to an ox, he pays five times its value. Omar Rebbe Meir, Bo Re Kama Godol Koyach Shel Melocha. Come and see how significant or how strong is a melacha. Melacha, work, constructive activity. Shor, shebitloi mimelachto chamisha. A thief who stole an ox The result of its theft is that the owner now cannot plow his field. The ox is an animal through which one profits through its labor. It's a beast of burden. It's an animal through which you plow your fields. So with its theft, you have been bitloy mimalachtoy. Your ability to work has been stopped. Se, on the other hand, shelo bitlo mimalachto, arba. The sheep is not an animal that is responsible for your productivity. The sheep is used primarily for its meat, so that the loss of the sheep doesn't cause you to lose in your work, in your productivity. Therefore, arba. So just to repeat, shor shebitlo mimalachto chamisha, the loss of the shor, which results in the lack of productivity for the owner, because he now cannot work. So the crime there is more severe, and hence the penalty is more severe. You have to pay five times its value. The loss of the sheep, which doesn't result in the owner's loss of work, so it's a less severe offense, and hence the penalty is less. Only four times its value is paid when it's either slaughtered or sold. Omar Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bo'ure kama godol kavod habrios. Come and see how significant respect to creatures. Kovod HaBrios is the dignity accorded to man. How important man's dignity is. And here you'll see how the Torah, through the difference in payment, accentuates this aspect, the aspect of human dignity. How does that figure? Shor, when a thief steals a shor. So, Shaholach Biraglov. The shor walks out, and it'll walk the entire distance to wherever the ganav wants to go with it. It doesn't involve any degrading activity, any embarrassment to the thief per se. He just walks out with the animal, and therefore, since he's not experienced any degradation, so the full five times has to be paid. However, set shekivo al ksefo, the sheep, in order to get it out and take it to where he wants to go with it, he's got to take the sheep, put it around his shoulders, lugging it out. It's demeaning for a person to be seen like that. So part of his penalty is the own degrading experience that he has to go through in stealing the animal. So he's already paying, so to speak, part of his offense. Therefore, arba'a, pay an additional four times its value because he's already suffering degradation. The Mishnah. In the Mishnah, you'll see some double underlining on the side under our nosei / mivne heading. The double underline highlights the expression she'ein megadlim, different creatures that one is not to raise in different locations. Balei chayim shonim b'mekayim shonim, different kinds of animals in different places. Ein megadlim, the Mishnah says, behema daka beretz Yisrael, one is not allowed to raise light cattle. Light cattle is a reference to sheep and goats. And one is not allowed to raise them in the land of Israel. Aval Megadlin Besuria, you can raise them in Suria, a region to the north of Israel that was conquered by King David before he conquered the rest of the land of the entire land of Israel. It has a it has a status that's less than the status of the land of Israel. So there we are lenient. And another place that you can raise the Behema Daku, but Midboros Shel Eretz Yisrael, on the desert areas of the land of Israel. Let's turn our attention to Rashi on the Mishnah. You'll find in the middle of the Rashi column, Ein Megadlin Behema Daku Be'eretz Yisrael Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It disturbs, their presence in the settled areas of Eretz Yisrael disturbs, interferes with the settling of the land. In what sense? Shemaviras asodos, these animals graze and destroy fields. The whole sodos Eretz Yisrael, stam of Israel, you can assume any field in the land of Israel is most probably owned by a Jew. So these animals, in their grazing, and there we'll say, and it's hard to control them. They'll graze all over and destroy fields, and that interferes with the settling of the land. Rashi continues, Avol Megadlin Besuria. Suria is Aram Tzova. That's the name of the Suria. The area is also known by that term. The David Kibsha, if I'm not mistaken, the term Aram Tzova you'll find in the scriptures. King David captured it. Kosovar, and the Mishnah is of the opinion de lo shmei kibush. It's not considered a conquest of on the same level as the conquest of the land of Israel. Vahavya kechutzo la'aretz, and it's therefore termed or deemed to be like outside Israel. Ubechutz la'aretz mutar legadel, outside the land of Israel, you can raise light animals. De lo chayshinon liyishuv. There we're not preoccupied, we're not concerned with the settling of the im yafsidu sodos. If they happen to graze and ruin people's fields, sodos achir mishameno, then you'll pay, you'll compensate them for the loss that your flocks caused. But make no mistake, the offering of compensation for loss caused is not on the same level as our concern for there being no destruction in the first place. That applies only to the land of Israel. We continue in the Mishnah. Ein Megadlin Tarnagolim. One is not to raise chickens. Birushalayim Ibnei HaKochim. In the city of Jerusalem. Because in Jerusalem, there was a constant presence of sacrificial food. And sacrificial food is very sensitive to defilement. And chickens, they have a tendency to peck away in garbage heaps. And in garbage heaps, there are dead creatures that convey defilement. And the chickens will bring pieces of these creatures to the kochim, to the sacrificial food in people's homes, and defile them. And another restriction, v'loy kehanim be'eretz Yisrael, kehanim should not raise chickens anywhere in the land of Israel, ne hataros, because of the food that kehanim eat that must remain undefiled. Kehanim eat truma. Truma is one of the tithes that we separate, and that's given to kehanim, and one has to be careful with regard to the purity status of truma. Taros, meaning things that must remain pure. And as we already explained, Tarnagulim are responsible for the transmission of defilement through their pecking away and picking up pieces of shrutzim, different types of creatures that convey defilement. The Ein, we continue with the third category, Ein Megadlin Chazirim B'chol Mokom. Jews are not to raise swine anywhere. Lo yigadel odom es hakelev elim kain hoya kosher b'shalsheles. One is not to raise a dog unless it's chained. These different restrictions will be the subject of the Gemara. The issue of the swine will be explained later. The issue of the dogs, which also will be dealt with later, but Rashi tells you here, dogs bite, they bark, and they frighten people, and particularly they may frighten a pregnant woman, and through her sudden fright, she'll miscarry. Ein porsin nishoven liyonim elim kain hoyorochik min ayishuv shloishim ris. One is not to spread out nets to catch yonim or birds, often translated as doves, unless the nets that you're spreading out are distant from settled areas, 30 ris. 30 ris is a measure of distance. Also, it's the equivalent of 4 milin. 4 milin is approximately 4 kilometers. Tonu Rabbanan. Ein Megadlin Behema Dako Be'eretz Yisrael. Avo Megadlin Behorshin She'eretz Yisrael. Horshin are the forests. One is allowed to raise Behema Dako in the forests of Eretz Yisrael. Besuria, when it comes to this area of Surya, the area we mentioned before to the north of the land of Israel, Afilu B'Yishuv, even in settled areas, it's allowed. V'ein Tzorach Lomar B'Chutzarsin, it goes without saying that it would be allowed in areas that are called outside the land of Israel altogether. Tanyo Idoch. Here we have another Tanaic source. You'll see that it continues to the second line from the top of Daf Pei Omet Aleph. And it continues with this theme with more detail. Ein Megadlin Behema Dako Be'eretz Yisrael Avo Megadlin Bamidbar Shebihudo. But you are allowed to raise them in the Judean desert. Uva Midbar Shebisfar Akko. And in the desert area that borders on Akko. V'af Alpi Shomru Ein Megadlin Behema Dako. Even though we've indicated the restriction regarding raising the behema daka, the light cattle, avo megadlin behema gasa. However, we are allowed to raise large cattle. Large cattle are used for transportation of burdens, of packages, and they're used for plowing fields. Could you imagine a restriction on raising animals like that? It would make life impossible. And the reason, therefore, that we allow the raising of these animals, the behemoth gasa, the large cattle, lefish ein gozrin gzira la tzibor elohim kein roiv tzibor yecholim lamod ba. We don't impose restrictions on the community unless the majority of the community would be able to observe those restrictions. Behemoth daka efshalavi michutz laretz. Sheep, which as we mentioned before, are used primarily for their meat value, you can import them. You don't have to raise them in the land of Israel. Behema gasa ef shelahavi michutz laaretz. The behema gasa, as we mentioned, are used for transportation and for plowing. It's impossible then to speak about bringing them from outside the land of Israel. You need them on a constant basis. V'avapi shomru ein megadlin behema daka. Even though we mentioned the restriction on raising light cattle, avol mashehu kodem leregel shloishim yoim v'kodem mishte benoy shloishim yoim. You are, however, allowed to. Mashe literally means delay them. It means, for our purposes, you can purchase them and keep them around over a 30-day period prior to the holiday, or prior to a wedding that you are making. So you can have them around for a 30-day period, maximum 30 days. Ubilvad shelo yasha es achrono shloishim yom. Provided the last one that you bought for either the holiday or for the wedding, you don't keep it for a total of 30 days. What do we mean by that? In very simple terms, the deadline for your being allowed to keep these animals around is either the holiday or the wedding. Now, here we have brackets simply to indicate that here the Gemara interrupts with an explanation of what we just said. The Brisa continues on the next Omer of Gemara, though. Regarding this last point, the Gemara explains what people might have thought otherwise. The Saka Daita Chamina, I might have thought, the E Nofik Le Regel, if you have a situation that the holiday passed, it finished, Umechizavno Ad Hashto Akati lo molu le talsin yomin. Imagine you bought an animal 5 days before the holiday. So you might have thought that from the time that I bought it till the holiday, I didn't have it for 30 days. And let's say I didn't use it during the holiday. Lo neimo, don't think for 1 second, talsin mishushor le lishuye, that there is an objective 30-day permission period to have animals. That's not so. Once the holiday passes, you have no right to keep it around anymore at all. We continue at the top of the next Omid, of Daf Pei Omid Aleph. V'hataboch loikeach v'shochet. A butcher is allowed to buy these animals, the sheep, the goats, in anticipation of market day. So he buys them and slaughters them. Lokeach v'shoyha, he buys them and is allowed to keep them around even 30 days before the market day. He can have them, the butcher. Ubovat shelo yasheh aguna shebahen shloshim yom. Similar to what we said before, the permission granted to the tabuch is such that he's allowed to buy them and keep them up till market day. He has a 30-day period in which he can buy them before market day, before the Yom HaShuk. However, the last animal, the aguna, is the latest animal, the most recent animal that he bought. He doesn't have a right to keep it around for a total of 30 days. But as we said before, he has a right to keep it up till the market day itself, at which time he'll slaughter it and sell it to the public, but not keep it around beyond that at all. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.